Part 10, text 23. So who will be considered an intelligent person? To get $10, he has to work very hard to worship the demigods for 6 months. Or anybody. What's the use? Rather, if he worships with devotion Lord Shri Krishna and waits for 2-3 years, he will give so much. It is said about Krishna that when he gives with 10,000 hands, like he gave to Dhruva Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj. Nobody can give so much. Sorry, not Bali Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj. Goswami Tulsidas Ji, he says in the poem, the demigods, when they take as much as a bale fruit, bilva fruit is as Lord Shiva's favorite fruit, it's as big as a grapefruit. So if you give to the demigods something as big as bilva fruit, they will give back as much as something as big as a mustard seed. And Lord Shri Krishna, he will take as much, something as big as a mustard seed, and he'll give back as much as the Himalayas themselves. This is his nature. What did he take from Sudama? A handful of chip rice. And what did he give him back in return? Another Dwarka. And that chip rice wasn't even fried or spiced or salted, nothing. It was just raw chip rice. The Lord does not add up what you've given, and He just gives. But of His Ananya Bhaktas, the pure devotees, He does not give freely material opulence, lest He fall down with too much wealth. When Bali Maharaj lost Lord Vamanadev took everything away from Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj's grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, he said, wow, the Lord loves you so much. When Bali Maharaj was given the whole of the heavenly kingdom, then Prahlad Maharaj did not say, oh, Krishna has so much mercy on you. But when he took away everything and put his foot on Bali Maharaj's head, Prahlad Maharaj says, this is real mercy. He said, I don't know why you're so affectionate to us, the Asuras. Bali Maharaj says, you have given us so much mercy. Actually, Indra does not have so much intelligence. He has been given so much, but till today he does not understand the nature of our Lord. Bali Maharaj said, the Lord took everything away from me. He took all my wealth, but what affection he gave me. Indra never has got that affection from the Lord. In the fifth canto, Bali Maharaj says that Indra thinks that he is so fortunate that the Lord has taken away all my wealth and given to Indra. He thinks he's so fortunate he's got all my wealth, but he doesn't understand the nature of the Lord, that actually I am more fortunate, that he's taken away everything from me and given me his love. Such a big guru he has is Indra, Brihaspati, but still he hasn't learned till today the nature of the Supreme Lord. Vritasur also is saying this here in verse 23. Tato muneyo, tato numeyo bhagavat prasado. It is very difficult to understand. It is very difficult to understand on whom the Lord is showering His mercy. When He takes away some devotee's wealth and his material post, then we can understand he has some special mercy on this devotee. Suppose some child is sick in his stomach and the doctor has told the mother, make him fast and in between Once in a while, you give him some neem juice. It's very bitter, this neem. Then the mother, she stops one or two meals and instead she gives him this neem juice. And the child may cry and vomit and not be very happy, but it is the mother's, but mother gives it to him because it is her love. She loves him. That's why she is giving him the bitter medicine. In the same way, the Supreme Lord is very kind to his devotees. Once in a while in between, if he makes his devotees' business go down, then he should not worry or be in anxiety. That much he should understand, that whatever he is needed, Krishna will definitely supply. So that our bhajan can keep on going, we can keep our heart in our bhajan, but at the same time there should be no debt and problems in our material life. And Krishna will always provide enough. So if our business or some wealth is lost, a devotee should not worry. He will definitely provide. And sometimes we get worried and we become frustrated that he's not giving us, he's not supplying, I'm having so much trouble. But devotees should have that faith. If he's taking care of the welfare of all the living entities, then he's especially taking care of the welfare of his devotees. He always on time provides. Once I called one of my god brothers and I asked him, how's your business going? And he says, it's going okay. And he said, Maharaj, other people's business is really going down these days, but mine, Krishna, is keeping okay. And I went to him. Like he was happy before, he's happy now. And actually everything was going on okay. So I asked him, what do you mean when you say it's going okay? What does that okay mean to you? He says, life is going on. He says, like life was going on before, it's a little low, but it's going on, it's going on. This is how he was showing Krishna's hand in his business. Krishna is doing everything. Like a father keeps an eye out for his son. The son is now short of money, he needs a little bit, and he provides a little bit here and there when he is in need. It's in the same way the Lord is always keeping an eye on his devotees. For the devotees, the anxiety is taken by the Lord. So we should leave it to him. But sometimes we become in great anxiety thinking that maybe Krishna is not taking care of us. My boat will really sink this time. That's his nature sometimes. He makes you cry a lot first and then he gives his mercy. Draupadi, when she was really in tears, then he started giving the cloth. When Gajendra thought that now my life air is going to leave my body, then the Supreme Lord, he came on Garuda and he came and saved him from the alligator. That's his nature. He wants to hear his devotee call out to him in distress. In Ramcharitmanas it is said that Ram makes you cry a lot first and then he gives. But he always takes care. We think that we are running our family, we are maintaining, but no. We are working so hard, that's why things are going on. But actually it's not because you are working so hard, it's Krishna is supplying. There was one person, the Mahatmas, they tell this story. There was one person, he was going on a horse. So where he was sitting on the horse, in front of him on the horse, he had a big bundle of something heavy. Maybe 20, 25 kilos. So somebody walking by, he said, "Oh, you're so cruel. You're also sitting on the horse and you're keeping this heavy bundle on him too?" Then he said, "No, oh, that's not good. I should not put so much heavy load on the horse." So he took the bundle and he put it on his head while he was sitting on the horse. But on the horse, whatever the weight was, it is still the same. And on top of that, this man's neck is about to break. He was sweating. He was feeling very uncomfortable and sick. That is what we do to ourselves. The Lord is acting like the horse. The weight is on him. Our weight is on him and our problems' weight is on him. But we just put the weight of our problem on our head while we're still sitting on the horse. So it is not necessary for us to do that. We could just leave that weight on the horse and the horse will take care of the whole weight and we can be free. It is still the same for the Supreme Lord. It's not that you're doing something, taking away the weight for him. He's still taking care of everything and you're also just unnecessarily putting the weight on your head. And in between you're thinking, "I am the karta, I am the doer, if I don't do this, how will it be done? I am managing, I am running the world." Krishna is doing, "Dukharan Dwarka Nath Sharan Meteri." Dwarka Nath is doing everything. Actually, nothing happens by worrying and thinking about it. And actually, Lord is doing everything, so we should be completely free from anxiety and go on with our service. Sometimes if we see that a disease has come, or our business is going down, or my job does not look very secure, then we should just understand that Krishna is having some mercy on us, and we should just know that everything will be for our benefit. Something good he's about to do, even though we cannot see it then. We should know that whatever we need, Krishna will always supply to us. So Vitasura is saying that you are a devotee of Lord and I am a devotee of Lord. And how much affection he is pouring on me, he is not giving to you. If he really had special mercy on you, he would not have given the wealth of the heavenly kingdom to you. He has his special mercy on me. To kill me, he has made this vajra, this weapon you have. He wants to call me, he wants to take me to his abode. So, to some person, he's keeping in this material world, and another person, he wants to call him to his abode. So who is more fortunate? Who has more mercy? It is easy to understand. But this kind of mercy, other people cannot understand. Someone said in the Bhagavatam class that the Lord is Nyayi. Nyayi means He is just. Whatever one karma one does, He gives them the reaction. But no, in the Bhagavatam it is said, the Lord is not, for the devotees, He is not Nyayi, He is Kripalu, He is merciful. Suppose somebody has been judged by a judge and he has got a death sentence. So this person goes to the president or prime minister to appeal. So the prime minister is not going to judge him. He's not going to be the judge. He can free him by his mercy. He can say, just be merciful to him, let him go this time. So the judge is the business of the judge. But the president, he is just going to be merciful to him, to let him go. So the Lord gives mercy. He doesn't do nyaya. Nyaya is given by, he has made Yamaraj in charge to do the judging. And Yamaraj does the judging. But the Supreme Lord, he doesn't do. He just gives mercy. Even if somebody makes mistakes, he forgives. Yamaraj, he is the supreme judge. He does not take sides. He does not give grace mark. He does perfect judging. He gives punishment according to the order of the Supreme Lord. If someone wants to become free from his sinful activities, he's made some mistake, some offense, some sin, and then to escape Lord Yamaraj's judging, he can offer obeisances and ask for forgiveness to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Take shelter of the Krishna. He says, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami Masuchaha. He does not say, I will give you punishment according to your sinful activities. He says, I will finish all your, I'll take all your sinful reactions. You just come to me. In this way, Vritasura is preaching to Indra. Now Vritasura is beginning to see the form of the Lord in his mind. So instead of now talking to Indra, now he's starting to pray to the Supreme Lord. Vritasura's prayer is called Chatur Shloki, four shlokas. These four shlokas are very, very important. In front of Indra, he's now praying to the Supreme Lord in the following four shlokas. And we will talk about it tomorrow. Very beautiful. Often many Vaishnavas know these four shlokas and they keep chanting these four shlokas. Very beautiful prayers. Hare Krishna. Text 24.
Dasanudaso bhavita shribhuyaha. Manah smareta supater gunamste. Grinita vakarma karotukayaha.
Text 25.
Nasarbhaumam narasadhipatyam. Na yoga siddhira punarbhavam va.
Text 26. Text 27. So battle is going on between Indra and Vritrasura, and Vritrasura is very enthusiastic to leave his body, and after leaving his body he wants to go to the abode of the Lord. But Lord Indra, he is standing still with the Vajra in his hand. Now he is thinking about two anxieties. One is that if I throw the Vajra at him, Vritrasura may catch the Vajra and throw it back at me, and that will kill me. Just like he caught the mace and he threw it on my elephant. So he was hesitating. And then secondly, he was, after hearing Vritrasura's talk, he was understanding that he is a Param Vaishnav, he is a pure devotee, and he is a Brahmana. So I should not kill him. He is not worthy of being killed. So for these two reasons, Vritrasura was not, Indra was not fighting with, he was not ready to throw his Vajra and kill Vritrasura. So many times, again and again, Vritrasura has requested Indra to please hurl your Vajra at me. Devraj Indra, why don't you throw your Vajra at me? This Vajra has been created for me to kill me. Please, you throw it at me. I will meditate my heart on Lord Sankarshan and will not feel any pain. You please throw that Vajra at me. He also said that those who are pure devotees of the Lord, the Lord does not give him wealth. And not a high post also. Because wealth and the high material post give many faults. And even he does, the Lord, if somebody is trying very hard with different ways and means to make more wealth, the Lord smashes his ideas of making more wealth also. So after all this, suddenly Vritrasura realized there is no use pleading to Indra to kill him, because Indra is not about to kill him. So he stopped pleading. to Indra, and suddenly he started thinking of the Supreme Lord, meditating on him. Just imagine, it's in the middle of the battlefield, and he's standing in front of his enemy, Indra, but he is so much thinking of the Supreme Lord, he is so intent, to anxious to die and go back to Godhead. He is neither afraid to die, he neither has a desire to fight, he neither wants to win or defeat, he just wants straight. So he just started straight to pray to the Supreme Lord himself. The highest, topmost devotees, wherever they may be in their homes or their office or in a battlefield, their minds are always thinking of the Supreme Lord. This is the proof. This is the proof that Pitasura is a pure devotee, that in the middle of the battle his mind is totally fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. First of all, he calls the Lord Hare. This Maha Mantra has the name Hare 8 times. Hare is a very pure sound. Hare means one who takes away. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he is translating the word Hare, he says Hare has many meanings. Two are the main meanings. Two are the main. One is one meaning of Hare is that those living entities that come in his shelter, he takes away all their inauspiciousness. This Lord Chaitanya is saying his karma bandhana, his karma, and his desires for material enjoyment, his disease, his unhappiness, all that he takes away. That's why he's called Hari. And second meaning is that Hari is so beautiful that for any living entities, any person, even animals, he steals their heart, their eyes, so they only want to see and think of him. So everybody starts looking at him. The animals and birds, they start looking at him without blinking. What to speak of humans? That's why he's called Hari. So Lord's name Hari is very famous. Hari, when you say Hari, it means immediately Sri Krishna. In Ramcharitmanas, it is said the sound Ra and Ma are always together. Just as Balram and Krishna are always together. He says that if the tongue is Mother Yashoda, then the sound Ra and Ma are like Krishna and Balaram. This is a verse from Ramcharitmanas. Just like in Mother Yashoda's lap, there are Hari and Haladhar, Krishna and Balaram. In the same way, on this tongue is the sound Ra and Ma. Just as Mother Yashoda's lap has Krishna and Balaram, Hari and Haladhar, so our tongue has Ra and Ma, always together, Ram, the sound vibration Ram. Every person should endeavor that with his tongue, they should always the names of the Lord.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sounds very nice that we always say to high and by, we say Haribo, Haribo. But sometimes it seems strange when the son is telling the father, or the disciple is telling the guru, Haribol, Haribol. It seems like you're giving the instruction to your guru, chant the names of Hari, chant the names of Hari. Or sometimes perhaps when we're talking to our spiritual master, we should say Hare Krishna instead of Haribol. Because when we say Haribol or Haribolo, that is an instruction. So you don't want to give an instruction to your guru. It sounds better if you say Hare Krishna. And to those younger than you, you say Hari Bol. Sometimes devotees don't realize who they're talking to. But whatever it is, it sounds very good. Hari Bol. Hari. Chant the names of Hari. To actually say the name Hari. This name Hari is very dear. This name Hari describes the Lord's it shows the Lord's beauty, His madhurta, His love, and His mangal haritva, His ability to take away inauspiciousness. That is the meaning behind the name Hari. The Mahamantra has 4 times Krishna, 4 times Ram, and 8 times Hari. Hare. So here, in verse 24, Vitasur is speaking to Lord Hari, the Supreme Lord, and he is saying, Hare, aham tva padek mula dasa anudaso bhuya bhavitasmi. Hey Shri Krishna, hey Hari, this is my desire that me, I am again, that I can be again dasa anudaso, that I can again become the servant of your servant. Again. Bhuyaha. Bhavitasmi bhuyaha. Bhuya means again, just like he was before. Vritrasura was in a kind of body now that was a body of a demon, that it was very automatic, normal to be against Hari, to be vimukh to Hari, and to harass the Lord's devotees and demigods, to kill them and to harass them, that was his only job. Sometimes a person gets such a body that in that body it's very hard to do bhajan. We have seen in this world. So, Vritasura wants that this body should go and I should get my original body.
Hari ke daason ke daason ka
I should get a very, very nice body in which I can be a servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Hari. One thing he is feeling very sorry about, that he did not become previously a servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Vishnu. He had become direct the servant of Lord Vishnu or Lord Sankarshan. In his previous body as Maharaj Chitraketu, he became a direct servant of Lord Sankarshan. And one time in that body, he insulted or offended Mother Parvati. Although he didn't mean to offend Mother Parvati, what happened one time what happened is Lord Shiva was sitting in the assembly of the sages and he was speaking on the Lord's pastimes. He was giving a class on the Supreme Lord and Mother Parvati was sitting on his lap. So Bhagavan Shiva, he had already burnt the god of lust to ashes. He had no desire, he has no lusty desires in his heart. It is not possible. Just like in the Surya Mandal, wherever the sunshine is, there cannot be darkness. And in the same way, in the heart of Lord Shiva, lusty desire cannot enter. He is very pure. So he was speaking the Bhagavatam while he had Mother Parvati seated on his thigh. Mother Parvati does not feel shy. There may be hundreds and thousands of rishis and munis, but she feels free to come and sit in the lap of her husband. This is also an amazing character of Lord Shiva. So Maharaj Chitraketu arrived there in his airplane. He was also with Apsaras and he was singing the glories of the Lord. Harin Gapaya. It is written in the Bhagavatam that the ladies and Maharaj Chitraketu were singing the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. He had come to Kailash to sit and hear Lord Shiva Satsang. And he saw. So he saw that Lord Shiva, he's speaking Bhagavatam, but he's having his wife seated on his thigh. It has never been seen before. Nobody does like that. But Vitasur knew the glories of Lord Shiva, and he was thinking, how amazing is Lord Shiva? How great is Lord Shiva? That Mother Parvati is sitting in his lap, but he never becomes contaminated with lusty desires. This is what King Chitraketu was thinking. So he was on a level of friendship with Lord Shiva. So just like one friend talks to another friend in a joking way, so he was speaking to Lord Shiva in a joking way. But Mother Parvati could not understand the joke. This serious joke. Maharaj Chitraketu said jokingly, look everybody, this Lord Shiva is Jagat Guru. He is the Hiteshi of the whole world. He is the well-wisher of the whole world. But he is sitting in an assembly and speaking on the Bhagavatam, but he has his wife sitting on his thigh. And he said that even an ordinary person, in an ordinary world, he meets with his wife in a private place. And he also feels, even he feels shy to sit freely with his wife in a public place. not, he doesn't let her sit in his lap. And on top of that, he is speaking on dharma. And he doesn't even dress up nicely. He's got these jatas, the hair, the matted locks. He's got ashes. He has ashes all over his body. It is understood very clearly that he's free from lusty desires. But still, why does he let his wife sit on his lap like this? So Lord Shiva did not say anything. He could understand, this is my friend Maharaj Chitraketu, he is just joking with me. But Parvati became very shy, very embarrassed. Lord Shiva was quiet, but Mother Parvati's eyes became very angry. So she said, so Lord Shiva is making a mistake, and the Supreme Lord has made, there's only you that Supreme Lord has sent to judge Lord Shiva, that you should give him punishment. If he is breaking the rules and laws of proper etiquette, I understand. So, I understand, but has the Supreme Lord appointed you to punish my husband? You don't see your position, who you are, and just here and there you speak anything about anybody. So, if in assembly he has let his wife sit on his lap, so you have been appointed to come and chastise him, so never in the future he will do this again. So, you have come to correct the world. Now the situation had become worse. Even Lord Shiva could not stop his wife from talking. Lord Shiva said, no, no, it's not like that. It's not like that, Parvati ji. It's something else. And Parvati said, you be quiet. It's such a big insult he is giving to us, and you're telling me it's nothing. You be quiet. When the wife chastises the husband in public, then the husband definitely he becomes quiet. Lord Shiva became quiet. Say, speak whatever you want to speak. When Lord Shiva could not speak, she shut him up. Then she said, this man, he has come, he thinks he is some big person, he thinks he has control over his senses, and I curse him. She tells Maharaj Chitraketu, you go immediately, you take birth in a demon family. Living in the society of devotees, you have become very puffed up. Parvati Devi saw that in this way, if he has become so puffed up and proud in being the servant of the Lord, then to achieve the Lord, it will take him a very, very long time. And that's why she cursed him to be a demon. But he did not counter-curse Parvati. He could have. He didn't. He accepted Mother Parvati's curse. So he got the body of an asura. But his devotion towards the Supreme Lord became more than before, even in that body. And we can see that it's in the middle of the battle and he's praying to the Supreme Lord. That we have never seen before, that in the middle of a battle, In the middle of a battle, someone starts to do bhajan and starts to pray the Supreme Lord and he wants to die, wants to leave his body. So here Vritasura is praying that, O Lord Hari, before I became your servant, but I pray that this time please let me become a servant of the servant of your servant, and that I will, and that I be your devotee. I only want that my manaha te gunans te smareta, that my man, my mind, may always remember your guna, how beautiful, how kind, how opulent, unlimited qualities, that may always remember these. That my mind may remember these things, and my vani, my vak, grinit. That my vani, my tongue, may do kirtan. And my kaya, kaya means body, te karma karotu. My body will work, do activities for you, in your service. These three things he begged. He begged the Lord for these three things. That one, Hari, I become the servant of the servant of your servant. Second, with my mind, I may always remember you and your glories. And third, that with my vak, my vani, my words, I may chant your glories. And my body, I do service for you. Srila Prabhupada, he writes in the purport to this verse that in this shloka, the essence of bhakti is given. This is bhakti. Vritasura is saying that I may become the servant of the servant of your servants. Those, I may become the servant of the servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet. Those kind of persons I want to be servant of the servant. Actually, this is bhakti. A real bhakta, a devotee, is always engaged on the service of the devotees of the Lord. This is how it's done in bhakti. These days a person wants to not become das anudas. These days a person wants to become boss of the boss. Whoever is my boss, I should become his boss's boss. And some people even say, I do not do bhakti for the Supreme Lord. I myself is the Supreme Lord. Everyone is the Supreme Lord. That's how some people say. You just recognize yourself. You just know yourself and then you will know God. You're that same God. Just by saying this, no one will become God. But this is how they talk. So bhakti means we should love the servants of the Supreme Lord. And we should become the servants of their servants. Many devotees, they write like this. When they write to somebody, on the bottom they write, your das anudas, servant of your servant. In behavior, maybe he may even fight with this person or try to overpower him or become a boss, try to boss him. But when they write, they always write, Das Anudas, your servant, servant of your servant. Because this is the etiquette. This is the essence of bhakti. Every person has in his heart desire to be somebody. Person who wants to be the servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord, their consciousness is considered pure. This is a very great way of thinking. Otherwise, in the heart is a deep desire, I want to be this and I want to be that. Just like when we used to go to school, primary school, sometimes they used to give us questionnaire and they used to ask, what do you want to become? Write a letter to your friend and tell him what you would like to be. So according to each one's desire, they would write, somebody would write, I would like to be a doctor, because in our country there are many sick people and we need doctors, so I would like to help them. And at that time he used to make a commitment that when I grow up and be a doctor, I will treat people freely. I will not charge them. Some would say I would like to be an engineer, and some would say I'd like to become a social worker, like that. Whether they become or not, but they would have to have this desire that they want to be something, somebody. But material nature makes you something else. A person desires that he may not die, may not get old, may not get disease. But prakriti and mrityu, death, are always there to make you into something else. So the living entity should try to only become what he actually is, what his real swaroop is. This is pure consciousness. Whatever he is as a spirit soul, that what he should try to become, and that is what he can really become very good. What is not his swaroop, he will not even become like that. Jivare swaroop hoy Krishnar Nitya Das. This is Jiva's swaroop, that he is eternal servant of Krishna. So if he makes up his mind that he wants to become Krishna's Nitya Das, he can become, because that's what he actually is. One man asked me just 2 days ago in Chicago. He says, Maharaj, what is everything? Tell me everything about taking diksha or initiation. I said, not some special vidhi. The main thing is to accept the Supreme Lord in your life. This is the greatest vidhi. I tried to make him understand that the living entity has a natural relationship with the Supreme Lord. Just like a son is far away from, separated from his father, and he doesn't know who is his father. But if somebody tells him, this is your father, and the father is sitting in the front, and somebody tells the son, this is your father, then to meet his father, what is their need for any vidhi or any special ways to do this? Any special vidhi means the proper etiquette. Just go up to him and sit in his lap, that's all. Or is there going to be some reading of some mantra and tantra that this father is going to meet his, the son and father are going to meet their relationship. When there's artificial, when there's temporary artificial relationship, then there is need for mantras and tantra. Just like weddings. This is not real relationship. You all should not become unhappy about me saying this. But actually this is total false relationship. But what relationship that Krishna has with the living entities, that is the real natural relationship. It is already there from before. And it is an eternal relationship from before. And so to maintain that relationship with which is eternal and natural, you don't need so much vidhi, means so much rules and regulations. In the same way, for the living entity to meet with the Supreme Lord, there's no necessity for any kind of rules and regulations. To teach the world, there is rules and regulations are made so people will learn. Now he has his relationship with the Supreme Lord serious. So I tried to make him understand in this way, and I asked him, "You are ready to do Krishna bhajan, aren't you? That is the most important thing. You consider him your own." So just increase that consideration that Krishna is your own by doing bhajan. Whatever the rules and regulations and pujas have to be done, somebody else will do. But from your side, you should consider Krishna to be your own. Without being devious. In India they sing Tvameva Mata Cha Pita Tvameva Tvameva Bandhu Cha Sakha Tvameva, that hey Shri Krishna, you are my mother, you are my father, you are my friend, you are my Sakha, you are everything for me. You are my wealth, you are my learning, you are my happiness, you are everything. Actually, the day that you start actually feeling like this in your heart, then to obtain Krishna, it doesn't take very long. The Lord replies very quickly. He reciprocates very quickly. A person has eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. We should only pray for that sambandha, that relationship. Whatever else we want to be in this world, this is not necessary that we'll become, that it will happen. Even if it does happen, we would have become something different than our real swarup in relationship to Krishna. We are not actually those things. But we want to become doctors, engineers, nurse, this and that. We are actually not any of those things. And if somebody wants to be a devotee of the Lord, that is the best thing. Because that is what he can really become best at, because that is his swarup. And anything else, he cannot really become those things. And on top, those are temporary. And they will become the cause of his distress.